We can be grateful for that experience, which led to several volunteering to make sure that this week is much better. And we want to be grateful to God for motivating a team of young ladies, especially, and some middle-aged men to practice a long time. How many hours did you practice?
3 hours.
And they came up with a better plan, and I knew nothing about it till I started singing and they were kind of shooing me down. So it's good to know that people get self-motivated by crisis. And I want to encourage us as a church, keep making disciples, because even in those technical things, we have to be disciples, right? Because even the technical things and our singing and our music is part of following Jesus. I hope you have your Bibles open to Matthew chapter 24, which will be our base passage. And I don't have time to take you through the whole chapter. We will also be looking at some other scriptures. And what I want to address this Lord's Day is that we are in for much more troublesome times ahead. And no prophet, and certainly not a doomsday prophet, but I'm a student of the Bible, and as a student of the Bible, I don't see this world becoming a better place, not just in terms of the evil and the wickedness and the sinfulness that is much more evident globally, but also in terms of the reality that none of us is going to have an economically better future. So if you think you're getting perks and raises in your salaries, even in the midst of lockdowns, please don't sit back and think you're in for better days and only a lot of other people are suffering the fallout of the lockdown. I don't think it's the fallout of the COVID-19 as much as the fallout of the COVID-19, which was the lockdown. And the lockdown is the cause of immense, irreversible distress. And it's more in the livelihood of not just people generally, but even us. And it's coming home to each one of us. And so I think we need to be alert. Much more troublesome times ahead. Much more than you have ever experienced. It won't be as bad as what's going to happen during the 7-year Great Tribulation. But it's going to be pretty bad. And you're not going to be able to cope with the irreversible damage to the economy that is going to affect you. And please don't sit there tight thinking you got a raise, you're getting you're in a good company, in a good corporate that has not been shaken by the economic fallout of the lockdown. You will also experience it. And while you are comfortable, you have a responsibility for those in distress. And you must be alert even to that. You cannot be selfish and just be happy for yourself and your family. Let me say a few introductory words. In early June 2020, this year, the world population was about 7.8 billion. That's just a few months ago, and projected to reach 8 billion by 2023, just 2 years from today. We are growing at around 1.05% each year, adding about 81 million people to the annual total. With the present COVID-19, and for other reasons, the growth rate may be declining and is projected to continue to decline in the coming years. And I have researched this have the citations, if you are interested, for those statistics. And further statistics, 300,000 babies are born every day from disease, accidents, and other reasons. Over 100,000 people die each day. So 3 lakh through new babies being born are added, but 1 lakh people die every day. So for every 3 births, there is 1 death every day. Now, let's move to Christianity. It is the largest religion in the world. According to the 2015 data, there are more than 2.3 billion people. About one third of the world's total population, 7.8 or 8 billion people, who practice Christianity of one or the other form. And that includes 1.2 billion Roman Catholics. Now, evangelicals number about 660 million, or 26% of the total 2.5 or 2.6 billion Christians in the world. So, we have one third, approximately, 25% of the total people who practice Christianity, who call themselves evangelical or born-again Christians. But we don't know exactly how many of those who claim to be born again are really born again. Definitely less than the 660 million Christians who claim themselves to be Christians. But even if we accept that all the 660 million professing Christians are truly saved, that leaves, of the total global population, 7,140,000,000 who are not saved, who don't claim to be Christians or followers of Jesus Christ. The implication is this, that the majority of the people you meet every day are without Christ and without hope, both in this world and in the next world. Their eternal destiny is eternal separation from God. Are you living with this reality? I don't think so. Because we all get so distracted with our busyness to think about eternity. When we look at every person, we don't think, as we rub shoulders with anybody, we don't think, are you going to heaven or hell? Is this person trusting in Jesus or going to hell? Now that's true. So you need to do the math. Without being exact, we can safely say that of the almost 8 billion people in the world today, the majority are bound for hell. Going back to Adam and Eve and accounting for all the people from then until now, you can imagine the crowds that will be in hell. eternally. And then you turn with me to Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Matthew chapter 7, all right? Everybody with your Bibles. Matthew chapter 7. Good. I have to keep reminding people to turn in your Bibles. You're not in a movie hall just watching and being a spectator. You must look at the Bible and underline and take notes. It says in verses 13 and 14, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. It's an easy way that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. So we need to get to grips with this fact. The majority of the world's population are on their way to hell. Now that's almost everybody you are meeting every day in your neighborhood, in your place of work, on the streets, wherever. In the market, the people you do business with, purchasers, vendors, sabjiwala, your milkman, everybody is going to hell. They're on the easy way that leads to destruction. It's not necessarily saying the sinful way, it's saying it's the easy way. To be saved is not the easy way. Jesus said those on the narrow way are few, because heaven will be populated by people whom God saved from the days of Adam. There will still be a huge number of people even in heaven, but the majority are going to be in hell. Now if you start counting and estimating how many will be in heaven, then you can go to the last two chapters of the book of Revelation and measure the New Jerusalem that comes down from heaven, and you can see that millions can fit into that place. What is the reason for this kind of reality of heaven and hell, and who goes where? In Romans chapter 3 verse 23, it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That is the real pandemic that has hit mankind for 6,000 years. Day in and day out, people are dying without being cured of this sin virus. Listen to these statistics, which is really summarizing the previous statistics I gave. These are the statistics of death. So how many are dying? Every year, about 56 million people are dying. Per month, how many are dying? 4,679,452 per day. 1,53,470 people every day are dying. 1,53,470 per hour. How many people are dying? By the time we finish the service, double that number. 6,300 plus people are dying every hour. Per minute, every minute that you are breathing, 106 people are dying. Per second, almost two people are dying every second. How many are going to heaven? How many are going to hell? You know, the issue is not people are dying of the coronavirus, therefore wear the mask, wear this, do that, get afraid that you might catch it. The issue is, what is happening to those who die? Where are they going? So we are panicking about people are dying, people are dying, people are dying. We're not panicking about people are going to hell if they die. Even the language of born again Christians is they're dying. It's not they're going to hell. When corona cases hit 1 lakh, and that's a few months ago, 1 lakh deaths, the world panicked. A headline news. When there is a COVID-19 death nearby, lockdowns happen in the society. Seal the surroundings. And in your house, you are sitting there in fear, most likely. But when over 1 lakh people worldwide die every day in sin and go to hell, there is no panic. No panic. No one fears for them. Not even those of us who are committed to the gospel and to evangelism and Savior burden for the lost and want to do something to reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 24 and first and foremost see that living unawares is important, imperative, essential for Christians. I am troubled by what I am preaching this Lord's Day. And this troubles my soul and leads me to ponder very seriously at how we live our lives as born-again Christians, as DCCers, in the light of these facts. Read with me Matthew 24 and verses 36 to 39. But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Underline the word unaware and count how many times it says unaware or similar meaning words or phrases. Unaware. You're not aware. And just like people were unaware and doing what they were doing, marrying, giving in marriage, eating and drinking, not sinning. They were doing the daily things of life, which everyone should be doing. So, it says, it will be before the second coming of Jesus Christ. And that includes all of us. We are busy with doing what we are supposed to be doing, right? And it's not necessarily sinful. But we're busy. Who has the time to think Jesus coming? All the time. And be alert that the end of the world is happening. And there'll be doom for those who are not saved. We earnestly believe Jesus coming again. That event will be the end of the world. It's great for me. I remember talking to a very wealthy businessman in Kolkata. Not a Christian. And we were sitting in his car. And he was very, very generous and lavish with me. And he was so excited to talk about the second coming of Jesus. And I said, you know, Mr. Whatever, the second coming is a wonderful thing to believe in. But it's good for me. It's doom for you. He looked at me, shocked at my directness. And he said, why? I said, because you will be condemned to hell if you do not turn wholeheartedly to Jesus Christ. Because it's a day of reckoning, eternal judgment for those outside of Christ, though eternal bliss for believers. Jesus, however, if you look at that passage which we just read in Matthew chapter 24, is absolutely sure that people, even Christians, will live unawares of the warnings and signs of the end and the coming of the Son of Man. And as I've been saying, it's not necessarily because they are busy, preoccupied or distracted by sin and wickedness. They're doing normal things, eating and drinking. What's wrong with eating and drinking? What's wrong with marrying and giving in marriage? What's wrong with that? Jesus is not condemning those activities. He's just saying you will be normal when you should be aware, even in the midst of that. You must be aware of the eternal all the time. Why? Because it will happen suddenly. The busyness of life must not make the Christian unaware of the fact that Jesus could come anytime, even right now. Amen? But are you aware? We are busy worshipping. We are worshipping the one who might come anytime and disturb our worship. While we are worshipping, are you aware Jesus will come, and what will happen when he comes? Oh, it's good news for me, but all my relatives, all the people who know Christ, almost everybody I know is doomed. Finished, no second chance. Now turn to same chapter, Matthew 24, 42 to 44. Therefore, 42 to 44. Therefore, underline the word therefore. Because these things are true, therefore, stay awake, it says. Underline, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the matter of the master of the house had known at what in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed away and would not have allowed the thief to break into his house. Therefore, you must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming and at an hour you do not expect. Right? Yes? We must be alert, ready, aware, all the time, anytime, in the midst of our eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. Second point. Being aware protects us against deception, being led astray. Same chapter, Matthew 24, verses 3 to 4. Jesus is privately teaching his disciples as he sat on the Mount of Olives in response to their question. Look at verse 3. Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of this age? So they're asking a very direct question. And please understand, Jesus is not like politicians today who evade the answer and complicate it. There are some basic truths Jesus cautions his disciples about concerning the end of the age and his second coming. And if you look at verse 2, what is he emphasizing? That they need to be careful not to be led astray. And we do well to take heed to this emphatic warning. Verses 5 to 8, turn your attention there. One reason Jesus gives for this warning or caution is that many will come in his name. So what's going to happen? Many are going to come saying, I am the Christ. Look, here is Christ. Look, there is Christ. And claim to be the Christ. Many will be led astray, and with the majority there will be peer pressure upon even the elect to believe false Christs and be led astray. Verse 5, for instance, says, and many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and they will lead many astray. In that passage, keep looking at that passage, verses 5 to 8. Another reason not to be led astray is that wars and rumors of wars will be the normal news during the disciples' lifetime in those days. It is the same in our lifetime, right? But are you aware what's going on? Let me help you. Nations will go against each other. Famines and earthquakes will be widespread. So earthquakes, wars, rumors of wars, famines are all what? What does Jesus call them? Verse 6. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed. Why? For this must take place, but the end is not yet. So people keep asking, are we in end times? Are we in time? This is not yet the end. Worse is to come. Are you getting the point? Hey, are you ready for it? Are you willing to live through worse times? And not just willing, will you be able to cope with worse times? Wars, rumors of wars, this is still not the end. So, worse is to come. Are you getting the logic of it? It's simple. Will you be able to live through it? Will your children be able to live through it? What are you doing to get ready? You're just looking for better salaries and better jobs. Verse 7, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. Look at verse 8. All these, underline that, all these calamitous, terrifying things. I hope you look at pictures of Syria and Yemen and Sudan and see the devastation of what has happened. Buildings have collapsed. It looks like a garbage bin, and worse. And kids and women are scrounging for flesh to eat. These are just the beginning of birth pangs. Are you beginning to see it? The beginnings of birth pangs. Jesus told his disciples that wars, rumors of wars, famines, pestilences, earthquakes will happen various places, globally. But that's just the beginning of the birth pangs. What are birth pangs? I hope you've had someone getting pregnant in your home, in your family. And suddenly, in the middle of time, midnight, whatever, when you're most unawares, the pains start. Right? Without warning. Now, Jesus says it's not the birth pangs, it's the beginning of birth pangs. So the birth pangs continue for some time. Then you have false alarms of birth pangs. And you rush to the hospital, doctor said, not yet, not yet. But birth pangs say, time is up. Time is up. Baby is coming soon. Imminent. The birth is imminent. So also when we see so many wars, rumors of wars, pestilences, corona, whatever else, pestilences, and I'll mention a few, famines, earthquakes, devastation, these are just the beginnings of birth pangs. We must be alert. We must alert one another that the time is short. The end is going to happen. But turn to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8 to understand that the very soon end could be, what does it say? In God's understanding, do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. It could still be 1,000 years. But it could be a second from now. If you are aware, underline aware, and are following events around the world, you will know that wars, rumors of wars, famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places are increasing, not decreasing. In a civilized world, there is much more of these negative things happening. We can be sure that we are getting closer and closer to the end of this age, the end of the world as we know it, and the end of time as we know it, and the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the birth pangs are very real in terms of wars and rumors of wars. Note down Ezekiel 38 to read at home. It's a great passage because several nations are mentioned as gathering together to battle against Israel. It is interesting that in just the past few months of our lifetime, a new coalition of nations is forming. And that new coalition, brand new, is Russia, Iran, Turkey, Pakistan, and China. Getting together against the West and Israel. You've heard of NATO? I hope you have. If you haven't, wake up and get informed. And the European Union, the EU, they're struggling with their existence as coalitions. Forget about the United Nations. The US has formed a new coalition called Quad, four nations, an informal strategic forum of four nations, the United States, Japan, Australia, and India. That's brand new. Most recently, the US forged a peace between two Arab nations and Israel. Are you aware of that? It's an unbelievable new coalition, and more Arab countries are waiting in the wings to join this new coalition to honor, respect, and admit that Israel has a right to exist. Muslim countries accepting Israel is unprecedented. Such moves, however, do not stop wars. In fact, they are increasing global tensions. And it's absolutely illogical. You're getting together, but you're getting together against other groups. As we meet, there are a number of different scenarios that could trigger World War III. Do you know that? Everyone's got their trigger ready and their finger on that nuclear button, including India versus Pakistan. Every day some of our soldiers are being martyred. Russia, China, or Iran versus the United States. Other hotspots are Israel, Yemen, Afghanistan, Libya, Ukraine, Venezuela, Belarus, the Democratic Republic of the Congo, Egypt, Mali, Mozambique, Nigeria, Somalia, Sudan, and I could keep going on. There's devastating hatred, civil war, killings in the thousands and hundreds of thousands. Moving to famines, evidence shows these have become more intense and severe worldwide. The drought in Somalia could kill, you know how many in Somalia? Because of no food, 750,000 people. Tens of thousands of people have already died in East Africa's worst drought in 60 years. Unprecedented swarms of locusts. And even in some areas of India and Pakistan, threatened the Middle East with famine. And when locusts comes, that's the end of fields and fields, acres and acres of food. Experts say this could increase, you know how much? 500-fold. Israel too is preparing for the first possible desert locust infestation in 7 years. Let's talk about pestilences. We're all looking at that Matthew passage, okay? Wars, rumors of wars, famines, pestilence. We are in the middle of a worldwide coronavirus fear and lockdown. We cannot be sure that this is a judgment from God, as some Christians claim, or the end. But the world has definitely got shaken up, right? And so have you got shaken up. Almost no person, no individual in the whole world has been unaffected by this ununderstood virus. We also have HIV, predictably. Does anyone talk about HIV these days? And there was a lot of panic. Just a year ago, 10 years ago, Dr. Ashutosh Kaushal had told me that numbers of people who would die. Predictably, hardly any panic about these in these corona days, about HIV. Not many mention the swine flu or chikungunya or dengue, hardly mentioned. Each year there are more than 200 million cases of malaria worldwide, with over 400,000 deaths through malaria alone. And we could mention several other pestilences. Earthquakes. We note that magnitude 6.0 or greater earthquakes since 1900 have become more and more numerous. The US Geological Survey reports more than 10,000 strong earthquakes around the world. And I think that's a figure, is it annually or monthly? I forget. In the past 30 days alone, the magnitude of 0.1 or higher earthquakes, India has had 49 such earthquakes. The GeoNet project locates between 50 to 80 earthquakes every day. One of my friends had a meter. Every time there was an earthquake, and I used to sit by his side, boom, earthquake. Every few minutes. And I said, this is astounding, and we don't even think about it. There are earthquakes all the time. Every day, 50 to 80 earthquakes around the world, and about 20,000 every year. So birth pangs are real, but birth pangs are all around you. Have you heard of Hathras? What is that? See, we're not aware. And other terrible crimes, look it up. You may or may not be following the news, but Hathras happened and is getting mired in twists and turns of political parties and terrorism accusations. Some young girl was molested and battered and killed in the most gruesome way. And it's being linked with terrorism, anti-national activities. It's so confusing. No sooner did Hathras happen. There was another rape that very next day in Uttar Pradesh, and this was followed by several in Rajasthan. Even a four-year-old or a four-year-old, yes. And those are not the only states, all over the place. Some reports say that a rape is every 15 minutes, about 87 rapes per day. And we're talking about our own country. Such brutalities are compounded by grotesque killings of the victims so that the rape can be covered up. Are we living in trouble sometimes? Much more is to come. You're not safe anymore. Am I frightening you? Some people may accuse me of that. It's not to frighten you. Did Jesus want to frighten you? Or to say, be aware, live with eternity in focus. What about Bihar? What about West Bengal? What about other elections? What's happening in Tamil Nadu? Not just the American presidential elections, which are mired in hate that is palpable. You can feel the bitterness and hatred. It's criminal on both sides. Almost every election close to home is full of such strong emotions spread by the electronic and social media, fake news, TRPs, being faked, noise and confusion. There is a plenty, but not much is being done for the oppressed, poor and needy majority all around us. And what's the corona fallout? Birth pangs near you. It has been amazingly heartbreaking how most local churches and individual Christians have not thought it important to open their hearts and purses to help countless people around, sometimes under our nose. Who have lost jobs, suffered pay cuts, cannot afford rents, cannot afford schooling for their children, schooling at home. They don't have smartphones and laptops, and they don't have electricity. Payment of EMIs, payment for medication, payment for tests, payment for hospitalization, and much more. Think about all those hundreds of thousands of migrant laborers. We've already forgotten them, haven't we? Men and women with children living in squalid conditions on construction sites. Have you seen them? Does it bring tears to your eyes and a break in your heartbeat? When asked, some individuals blame pastors and leaders for not planning projects through their local churches that they can join. That's easy to do, instead of being self-motivated enough to say, I will first talk to my leaders lovingly, humbly, and say, are we going to do something? Have you planned something through your church? And if that leadership is in slumber, do it yourself. Don't stop. You don't need someone to organize compassion for you to have and show compassion. Help at least one person. Help at least one family personally. You know, it takes a mere 1,500 to 2,000 to give a month's rations to a whole family. Can you afford it? Of course you can. I've been sitting and planning with some, instead of helping 100 people, help one family for 6 months. That way you might even build up a relationship and then share the gospel with them. Astoundingly, shocking too is the reality that most local churches and Christians reach out to only nominal Christians or relatives and friends. And most are from Christian background. And I've been telling such people, tell your local churches to do it for Christians. What should we do? We should do it for the lost. We must go out of the way to reach out in love to strangers, right? From other communities. Just pass by a construction site. Just pass by under a bridge. There are homeless people. Adopt someone for 6 months, 1 year. You might establish a relationship. It will cost you time and energy. You will dirty your hands. And you don't need the support of anybody. And you don't need to do a WhatsApp group, and you don't need to do a prayer group, nothing. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Just go and show the love of Christ. We profess to be burdened for the lost. What an opportunity. Pestilences, famines, earthquakes, and the fallout of all those things give us to reach out to the lost by meeting their daily needs. And this COVID-19 has provided us a huge opportunity. It's going to last more than a year more. Finally, being aware calls for a lifestyle change. Let me read two more verses from Matthew chapter 24, verse 33. So also, when you see all these things, which things? All these birth pangs, you know that He, who Jesus, is near, even at the very gates. Verse 42, therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. Jesus emphatically and repeatedly warned us in strong words to be constantly alert, constantly. Stay awake, be aware, ready for an unpredictable end of this world and His second coming. Before that, however, there will be extremely troublesome times. Beginning of birth pangs, which will become even worse in the future 7 years of great tribulation. Christians, however, will be raptured, will not experience the 7 years of great tribulation. We rest securely in the knowledge that the rapture is imminent. It could happen any time now. There are no prophecies that have to be fulfilled before the rapture occurs. However, even before that great tribulation and that wonderful rapture, we believers too will face some extremely much more troublesome time. And those are mere what? Birth pangs. Listen carefully. We live and have become used to living a lifestyle and teaching our children to live a lifestyle that will not help us to be able to cope, make us able to cope with the harsh days that are soon to come upon the world and upon us. You cannot expect the world to have a quick economic recovery. You cannot and will not be able to migrate to an easier place. Every part of the world is infested these days with an economic sickness. Depression, recession, whatever you want to call it. Around the world, there is a climate of discouragement and despair and depression. Suicides are increasing. I meet people who are fed up of living because they don't know how to live. Children and women are being abused. Crimes, even in Pune, the police commissioner recently said, because of the lockdown and no money in the pocket, crimes are increasing, thefts are increasing. You think you're safe, you think wrong. You think you're going to protect yourself. Not only is that selfish, but it's wrong to think that way. Each one of us needs to tighten our belts, live more modestly, perhaps at 50% less than we have grown used to. We will need to open our eyes, open our hearts, open our wallets, break up our savings, sell things we don't need anymore, including valuables, to help one another as well as people outside the church. We must begin to live more for the eternal than for this life only. That is going to be hard, but while you are able to buffer yourself for the soon to come hard times, begin to make changes. In January 2020, I preached here and cautioned that 2020 is going to be a terrible year. May I humbly but emphatically call you to be aware and being aware. Please make intentional changes to your lifestyle. Simple living, high thinking. Simple living, eternal thinking. Begin active plans to reduce your expenses on yourselves right away. Do it now. Do it today. As we wrap up, please turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I'm reading the 11 verses. And now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you. Underline verse 2, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Have you underlined verse 2? While people are saying there is peace and security, then underline sudden destruction. Sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pangs come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. Verse 4, underline, you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. Underline verse 4. Verse 5, we are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. Verse 6, underline, so then let us not sleep as others do. Underline, keep awake and be long and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be what? Sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet of hope, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live for Him, with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you are doing. The world pretends we are in for better days. Verse 3, peace when there is no peace. Don't sleep. Be alert. Look up, fellow believers in Christ. Your redemption draws near. Bow with me in prayer. Father, we thank you for the strengthening of your word. Help us to be obedient, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name.